Hawser's free arm was straightened out in front of him. One of the eaters holding him put his leg round the back of the post, bracing himself there and trapping Hawser's other hand where it was. Fui Song had a set of gleaming steel teeth in his mouth, the hold ones. He glared at the changer while Mr. First stepped back, still holding the projectile pistol. The prophet nodded to another two eaters in the crowd. They took Hawser's hand and prized the fingers apart, tying that wrist to a pole. Hawser felt his whole body shake. He cut off all feeling in that hand.
"Naughty, naughty Gistranashi," Fui Song said.
He leaned forward, buried Hawser's index finger in his mouth, closed the stripper teeth over them, cutting into the flesh, and then pulled quickly back. The prophet chewed and swallowed, watching the changer's face as he did so and frowning.
"Not very tasty, Gengagixin run the ocean's currents."
The prophet licked his lips.
"I'm not sure enough of your Aisha, so it had seen. Let's see, what else you can..."
Fui Song was frowning again. Hawser looked past the eaters holding him to the hand, stretched out of the pole, one finger stripped bare, the bones limp, blood dripping from the thin tip. Beyond that, Fui Song sat frowning on his litter on the sand. Mr. First near his side, still glaring at Hawser and holding the gun barrel. As Fui Song's silence continued, Mr. First looked at the prophet. Fui Song said,
"Not else, Nikan. Nikan."
Fui Song reached up and took the stripper teeth with some difficulty from his mouth. He laid them in front of him, with the rest on their rag, and put one pudgy hand to his throat, the other onto the vast hemisphere of his belly. Mr. First looked on, then back at Hawser, who did his best to smile. The changer opened his teeth glands and sucked poison.
"Mr. First,"
Fui Song began, then put out the hand on his belly toward the other man. Mr. First seemed uncertain what to do. He transferred the gun from one hand to the other and took the prophet's offered hand with his free one.
I think I,
Fui Song said, as his eyes started to open from slits to small ovals. Hawser could see his face changing colour already. Soon the voice as the vocal cords react.
"Help me, Mr. First."
Fui Song took hold of a lump of fat round his throat as though trying to undo a scarf tied too tightly. He stuck his fingers into his mouth, down his throat, but Hawser knew that wouldn't work. The prophet's stomach muscles were already paralysed. He couldn't vomit the poison up. Fui Song's eyes were wide now, glaring white. His face was going grey-blue. Mr. First was goggling at the prophet and still holding his huge hand. His own was buried somewhere inside the great golden fist of Fui Song's.
"Help!"
squeaked the prophet. Then nothing but choking noises. The white eyes bulged, the vast frame shook, the dome head went blue. Somebody in the crowd started screaming. Mr. First looked at Hawser, then brought up the big pistol. Hawser tensed, then spat with all his might. The spittle splashed across Mr. First's face from mouth to one ear in a sickle shape, which just took in one eye. Mr. First staggered back. Hawser breathed in, sucked more poison, then spat and blew at the same time, landing a second burst of spittle right across Mr. First's eyes. Mr. First clutched at his face, dropping the gun. His other hand was still caught in Fui Song's grip as the obese prophet shook and quivered, his eyes wide but seeing nothing. The people holding Hawser wavered. He could feel it in them. More people in the crowd were crying out. Hawser jerked his body and snarled, spitting again at one of the men holding the pole his hand was tied to. The man screamed shrilly and fell back. The others let go of him or the pole and ran. Fui Song was going blue from the neck down, still quivering and clutching his throat with one hand and Mr. First with the other. Mr. First was on his knees, his face lowered, moaning as he tried to wipe the spittle from his face and remove the unbearable burning from his eyes. Hawser looked round quickly. The eaters were watching either their prophet and his chief disciple, or him, but they weren't doing anything either to aid them or to stop him. Not all of them were crying or screaming. Some were still chanting, quickly and fearfully, as though something they could say would stop whatever terrible things were happening. Gradually, though, they were backing off, away both from the prophet and Mr. First and from the changer. Hawser pulled and jerked his hand tied to the pole. It started to come free. Mr. First suddenly raised his head, hand clutching at one eye, and screamed for all his worth. His hand, still caught in that of the prophet, jerked out straight as he tried to pull free. Fouissant still held him in his grip, though, even as he quaked and stared and turned blue. Hawser's hand came free. He tugged at the bonds behind him and did his best with the crippled free hand to untie the knots. The eaters were moaning now, some still chanting, but they were moving away. Hawser roared, partly at them, partly at the stubborn knots behind him. Several in the crowd ran. One of the women, dressed in the ragged vestment clothes, screamed, threw her bowl of gruel at him, missing him, then fell sobbing to the sand. Hawser felt the ropes behind him give. He got the other arm free, then one foot. He stood shakily, watching Fouissant gargle and choke, while Mr. First howled, shaking his head this way and that, pulling and swinging his gripped hand as though in some monstrous travesty of a handshake. Eaters were running for the canoes or the shuttle, or throwing themselves onto the sand. Hawser struggled free at last and staggered toward the grossly imbalanced duo of men linked by the hand. He plunged forward and grabbed the fallen pistol from the sands. As he knelt and then stood, Fouissant, as though suddenly seeing Hawser again, gave one last gurgling, gagging splutter of noise and tipped slowly toward the side Mr. First was pulling and tugging from. Mr. First fell to his knees again, still screaming as the venom seared the membranes of his eyes and attacked the nerves beyond. As Fouissant toppled and his arm and hand went slack, Mr. First looked up and round, in time to see through his pain the vast bulk of the prophet falling toward him. He howled once on an indrawn breath as he pulled his hand free at last from the now blue clump of chubby fingers. He started to rise to his feet, but Fouissant rolled over and crashed into him, knocking him to the sand. Before Mr. First could utter another sound, the immense prophet had fallen over his disciple, flattening him into the sand from head to buttocks.